Thanks for listening to the Adam and Dr. Drew Show on Podcast One.
Well, we'll talk about wheels, Adam. You'll be very happy. Yes, man. Powder coating and wheels. And your history with tinkering as a child and how you developed your skills. And then Tara Raboumdie.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on, get it on. I took your
pants away.
And while you're standing there,
I took your underwear. God, we were creative when we were kids.
Yes. Do you guys have the tarara boomdie?
I don't know if we did, but I feel like I've heard it many times over the years now. It's locked into my subconscious.
About the pants and the underwear?
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Gary tarara boomdie.
At this point, I have to assume it's from this building.
Well, that one died off then, but some of the other ones still stuck around.
Yeah. We had a place in France where the naked ladies dance in a hole in the wall where the men could see it all.
And there's jingle bells and Batman smells.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's us. That has never gone.
You got to understand, we things that entertained us, woeful.
Well, it's a good point. My kids don't need that shit. They got big color TV sets and high def everything, and they're not. What are they doing?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Like, I remember I was a little bit of an inventor when I was a kid.
Ooh.
I don't know if inventor, but I had this unyielding desire to, like, create things, mechanical things.
Yeah.
I wanted things. And I never had anything, nor did I have any tools. So it was this bizarre thing of, like, loving to cook, but never having a stove or ingredients, you know, but I love to cook. Like, so it was this kind of perpetual state of dissatisfaction,
frustration.
Yeah, and it was a lot of, like,
you did get to act it out a little bit with the bicycle, though, by collecting the pieces that you were going to put together.
Yeah. I was constantly
slow motion
walking through hobby stores and, like, looking at the big box up top with the hydroplane boat kit, you know, and just be staring at it. Staring. But that kind of stuff, you didn't even ask for that. That was like, why don't you ask for Rolls Royce? You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't even, they wouldn't even entertain that. But maybe you could get a little part, a motor or battery or something, and try to figure out how to put something together. But nothing ever worked because I didn't have tools. I didn't have skill, and I didn't have parts, and I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have a guy going, all right, let's get this done. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think people, you know, I was sitting around my house the other day, and my daughter came in and said, I got this mirror from Pottery Barn Teen, and I got this other mirror, and can you put it up in my bedroom? And I was like, yeah. And I just went and got my cordless drill and the cartridge with the magnetic cartridge with the number two screw tip on it. And I know so much. I knew how I was going to anchor it to the wall if we found a stud or if we didn't find a stud or what to do. I decided it was funny. I was like, I'm not going to find a stud. I'm just going to put in a screw shield and put the screw in the screw shield. I like to find a stud, but the stud would be off the mark of where she wanted it. It's kind of interesting. You know, I said
a screw shield, those things that go in the war and spread. And then
or that's like a toggle bolt. But yeah, some version of that, some anchoring system, you know. But, you know, it's a couple things. Like, first thing I said was, you want this round mirror on the wall that lights up. You want this other mirror, you know, this long oblong shape. I said, take a piece of tape, put it on the wall, and put it on the round mirror, put it right in the middle of where you want that mirror, and then put it there, and then step back and look at it. I want to know this is where you want it, and then we'll figure out if we want it higher or lower. So first, you decide, put that mark on the wall. she did. I then went in and thought I was going to go with a screw shield, so I just was drilling a hole in the drywall in order to sort of put this threaded screw shield in there. And the second the drill bit went through the drywall, it immediately hit something.
Uh-oh.
And I knew it wasn't a stud. It had a little flex in it. And because I'm trained, I was like, oh, this wall's been shear walled. This wall's got plywood on it. And now I know I can put the screw anywhere I want because there's plywood.
Is that the plywood you were hitting, or is that?
Yeah, I was hitting the plywood because I knew I was in a bay. I wasn't on a stud, but yet I hit wood, and that just meant shear wall. Somebody shear.
How do you know you didn't hit a pipe or something?
Nah, it would feel different. Yeah. You'd hear it. Was up at a height that I don't know. Didn't really suggest it was there. And before I started, I thought, I wonder if they shear walled this wall. Like, it's a fairly new house. They may have called out to shear wall it, and sure enough, they did. Anyway. Hung the other mirror, took 14 minutes to do both of them, and then my daughter was happy. And then, of course, I had to do what I always do, where I go, it must be nice for you to live with somebody who has the skill set, right? And she goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I still take it for granted, but yeah, it's nice.
But it is... I mean, what you don't you would like to live with someone who had the skill set of carpentry, but not you wouldn't want that for your income. You'd want them to be a doctor, or comedian, or whoever
happened to be a carpenter.
But happened to be a carpenter. Oh, that's kind of what you'd. I think that's what you'd like.
That's
you know what I mean?
You satisfy those criteria. Well done, sir.
Yeah.
I'm sure they appreciate it.
Yeah, always.
Like anything.
Joy.
Anything.
Oh, the appreciation. It's overwhelming. I it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Like when I was done with that movie theater.
Which is a really...
Oh, the praise. They never stopped heaping praise. Never stopped. But you know what is funny about people who, if you build them a movie theater, they don't say anything? About? If you ever call them out on it, they go, what do you mean? I love it. I told you 1,000 times. It's like, you did?
Of course I appreciate it.
Well, they do. Of course I appreciate it. But yeah, well, make it manifest itself in the form of an omelet.
But I've noticed that appreciation, it's funny, I was having some thoughts about this the other day. Mm-hmm. Appreciation is in short supply. Gratitude and appreciation, and those are very important and healthy, healthy emotions. Gratitude especially is a healthy emotion, but appreciation is something I'd not really given much thought to, and I found myself thinking about that lately. And it is, you know, and it's, I hate to keep pointing at the millennials, but it is sort of a millennial thing where they don't appreciate anything that's been done for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm wondering how your kids' generation is going to – probably the same, right?
Well, okay. If you are a unique individual and no one else in the world is like you and you are our future – and you are the coolest, then why shouldn't you expect people come in and hang a mirror for you? Why would you appreciate that?
Well, and it goes back to something we talked about in the last show, I think, which was the idea of finding your muse as opposed to finding work. Find work and do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's something pure in that.
Yeah.
That gets people's priorities kind of lined up.
Yeah. And so when I was wanting to invent, and I had my room out on the porch, I had an old chest of drawers, and in it was a drawer that I labeled the everything drawer.
Oh, never heard about this.
I probably brought it up once or twice. But
Playboy's going there, too?
Time. Where would I get a Playboy?
Well, I'm just saying. Young males in those days were very resourceful about that stuff.
I don't know, any bits and pieces of metal or bracket or wire or motor, anything that came off of something. You know, what I did is like I'd have a friend and he'd have a little battery-operated little tank model or something, and then I'd be at his house and the tread would be off one side and be in the closet, and I'd kind of go, what's up? Oh, it's broken, you know, and I'd go, oh, could I have that? And he'd go, yeah, it's broke, you know, and I'd go, okay, and then I'd bring it home and like take the motor out of it and try to figure out something to do with it, you know, but again, there was no skill set, and I had no tools, and I had no mentors. It's an interesting... You know, competence. It's kind of a it makes you feel secure, mm-hmm. but it makes the kids feel secure. So, like, I always, like, I'm not Johnny on the spot for many things, but if my kids ever go, hey, can you hang this thing up or can you fix the whatever? My son gets a flat tire on his mountain bike. Like, can we patch the tire? I was like, let's do it. Let's do it now. And then when we're done, I go, see, these are skills. You can get these skills.
Them, yeah.
You can develop them as well. But you live with someone who has these skills. I can put a patch on your bike tire. And my son's chain broke or something on his mountain bike or whatever. And I bought a new chain and got the master link and I got a chain break. I don't think I got a master. Like, I literally, you had to shorten the chain. And I knew from back in the day that there's a chain break tool where you screw it and you push the pin out and you take out three or four links and put it back together with the master link. And it's like, I knew all that shit. Went down to the bike store and did it. And I want my kids to think, I want them to think that way of me. Because like, when I think of my dad, I go, what a fucking waste. Jesus Christ. I want them to go, oh, my dad could fix anything.
Here's what they're going to think. He shamed me every time he did something. Made me feel less than because he told me, see, you could be like this, but you're not. That'll be in their memory.
No.
Don't worry. There'll be some distorted something.
They're going to do that. My dad, I've talked to enough kids where they go, adults, I should say, go, my dad could fix anything, but probably
when did
not.
You learn the car skills and how did that happen?
I have always had a unyielding desire to tinker, take apart, and mess with mechanically, which makes me hate my parents even more because they never fed. They never fed it. You know what I mean? It was like a zero of, well, why don't we get this guy some tools? You know, I mean, they're relatively inexpensive and keep him busy for
our shop or something.
Oh, well, that would have been unthinkable. But I mean, like a tool set.
Yeah.
You know, the reason my parents are horrible is a basketball hoop, a tool set, a football, a couple of things would just kept me busy the whole time. It would have been the best $20 you ever spent in your life because you didn't want to hang out. You didn't want to talk. You didn't want to do stuff. But this would have occupied me, you know.
Yeah.
But I got out of high school, and when I got my first motorcycle, my first truck, I was immediately just tinkering and tampering and getting involved with stuff. And then I started buying myself some tools, and I was always just in it. Like, I don't think people – I've told you this before, but we do people a wild disservice in that we decide that certain – pursuits and certain innate pursuits or attractions are like noble and then others aren't. Mm. And so what we do is we go, my son loves music. He loves the violin. It's like, oh, that's noble. There should be more programs at schools for these people. There should be more, you know. Yeah. How many fucking commercials have you heard about bring the music back to school, school programs, music? You ever hear anything about shop?
No.
You don't hear jack squat. That's part of that fucking elite group that's the college group who's decided playing the viola is noble, but knowing how to turn a wrench.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's for the guys who call Martin Luther King reverend. We don't that's blue collar stuff. We aspire to the education. So they've taken one thing and they've turned it into something noble. Language, dance, music, art. Oh, he loves to paint. You know what I mean? You'd be the worst parent in the world if your kid dreamt of painting and you never bought him an easel or a canvas. You'd be judged horribly by that group. But not the mechanical stuff. And I'm here to tell you that the mechanical stuff runs deeper than the artistic stuff.
Meaning it's a more natural proclivity? Or it's deeper in the human?
It's deeper. If you go over to the other shop and you see Sean over there, he's deep. And when you say to him, you know, on Fridays, I'll say to him, what are you doing this weekend? And he'll go, I'll be here. And I go, well, what are you working on? I'm working on my truck. I'm working on my shit now. You know what I mean? Like, he works on my shit all week, and then soon as Saturday and Sunday comes around, he's on his shit. And if you ever see him sitting at the computer, he's looking up some part or something. I mean, for the guys that are into it, it's deep. They're deep into it.
Because
what I'm saying is the people who like painting or dance or music, they like it, and then they knock off and they go out to dinner or they go do something else. I'm not saying these guys don't do anything else, but I guarantee it occupies more of them. Yeah, you know, what I'm saying is if you like painting or you like music or you like art, that's fine, but you're not on the computer all night looking at paintings.
Right.
You just get up the next day, maybe you paint. These guys are on the computer that night bring a trailer and eBay, looking for parts, looking for cars, looking for projects. It's more consuming. It's more of a lifestyle.
Interesting.
And it's ignored. We don't look to feed it.
Well, I also think the elites, as you're describing them, have no idea what it is.
They have no idea what it is.
And no idea.
And they're ashamed that they can't do it, and they poo-poo it.
And no idea what's required to get somebody to be good at it. No idea.
Right.
So to them, it's just, that's something you do. You go out and you just start doing it.
No. For them, for the elites, we should lift people out of the mechanics bay into the college dorm.
Into the orchestra.
We want to get them out of there.
Right.
You want to do that? Mistake. That's the shit your racist grandfather did.
Yeah.
You don't want to end up there.
Yeah, it's a huge mistake.
But when it's in you, it is all-consuming. And that's who I was. That's who I am. I haven't gone 10 minutes without fixing something or
thinking about wheels.
What kind of wheels? I'm talking Libras or BBS, Centerline? What are we talking about here, Drew?
What's the coating you put on your wheels? The
powder coat?
Powder coating.
Are you serious? Or do you want to know?
I want to know.
No. Oh. I got no... The racing's been shut down a little, so I've not been a little wheel centric.
What is a powder coating? Never described it.
Powder coating is the greatest invention known to man. It's essentially paint, but it's paint that's sprayed on in a powder form when they put an electrical charge on whatever it is you're painting.
So it's sort of like a chrome plating kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's not dipped. It is
sprayed on.
I think it's sprayed on in a dry form, and then it's put into an oven and baked.
Correct.
And when it's baked, it comes out, and it looks like you painted it, but the shit's indestructible. It can't. I mean, you're not going to chip it or scratch it like you did.
Did you do something like that in your kitchen over at the Lake Hollywood house on the oven?
That was automotive paint.
That was just automotive paint.
All the stainless steel appliances.
Got it. That wasn't this powder coating, because that looked indestructible.
You can have almost anything powder coated.
There it is.
But the thing about powder coating is it would be unnecessary for me to powder coat my refrigerator door.
Okay.
It's not going to take that kind of abuse. If you're doing car parts and stuff that's under the hood and stuff that's taking a beating, then you got to powder coat it.
Do they have interesting colors you put in? There's all silver.
They have a million colors.
Yeah.
You can not only do whatever color you want, you can mix whatever color you want. And they have big ovens now. Like, you know, those Paul Newman race cars that I restore, the entire frame is powder coated.
Are any commercially available cars? Well, there is one right there. Do they come with that in certain cars?
I would venture to guess that if you bought a new Porsche or Audi or Jag or almost anything, and it had a kind of performance rim on it, and the outside of the rim was a polished aluminum, but the inside was gray or black or whatever, that I would venture to say that's all powder coated. But I don't know enough about big, you know, car manufacturing to know if that's what they're doing. You want to talk to Taylor up here?
Sure.
Taylor?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey there.
Hey, guy.
Hey, guy. Mm-hmm. Andrew, glad to hear you're doing better, man. You're kind of part of my daily routine now, checking up on you on your Instagram to see what insight you got for the day.
Thanks, Taylor. I'm gonna do a stream. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm going to do a stream soon to sort of review some stuff. Thanks.
Good. Hey, guys. I just had a question. This is actually for Drew. I'm 31, great shape. This last year, 2020, you know, I never took multivitamins or vitamins at all. My wife was all about it. When the pandemic hit, I was like, okay, I'll start taking some vitamins, and I exercise daily to begin with. But man, when I started taking vitamins all of 2020, I felt like shit every day. And then I ended up about midway through the year, after about 3 months taking them, I had some really bad acid reflux issues, had to get an endoscopy. They said, you have horrible GERD.
Yeah.
I would never feel it in my chest. It was always in my throat. And I've kind of evened it out now, take zinc and D every now and then, but still till this day it bothers me every day. It feels like there's a lump in my throat. I know it could be stress as well, but I'm going to go see an allergist tomorrow to kind of figure out maybe, because I haven't been eating eggs lately and I've been feeling a little bit better, but what's your take on taking all these vitamins? I don't know if my body's handled it correctly.
Well, nothing about what you've said sounds in any way allergic. So that's a whole mm-hmm. different thing. Stop them. See if you feel better. I mean, having that kind of reflux, a lot of things can kick that up. Did they put you on any medication for the reflux?
You know, they gave me PPIs and I didn't take them because I know that in the past, I've taken PPIs in the past a couple of years ago.
What's
when I did
PPI?
Have another bout with it, I felt like it was acid reflux. For some reason, it was coincidental. I got sick. Every time I took them, I would get a cold. I would get the flu. Yeah. I was like, right now, I just want to stay healthy. I don't know if there's a correlation there.
Proton pump inhibitor, PPI.
Mm-hmm.
So, but why not just take Pepcid? Just take something simple. Take like 40 milligrams of Pepcid every day. It's just an antihistamine. It's very safe, very mild. Just do that. And then stop the vitamins. See if you feel better. I mean, zinc is tough on the GI tract for sure.
I have felt that, I feel like, with zinc in the past.
Yeah, and you're a 31-year-old. You shouldn't need to do anything except be healthy. Exercise and eat right, and that's it. You're 31, my God. I mean, I understand if you want to try to, you know, in the day of COVID, you want to add some stuff. You want to add some D and some C and some zinc. I get it. But C and zinc can upset your stomach. They can, easily.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just take Pepcid. And if you don't, by the way, if you don't treat the gastroesophageal reflux, it doesn't get better. It doesn't get better by itself typically. You have to suppress the acid for a while. So the GE junction muscle starts to pull together and then the acid doesn't go up into your esophagus so the esophagus can heal. It's a whole cascade that you have to reverse. So just take Pepcid 40 milligrams until it goes away.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what I felt like. I mean, I've been so paranoid. One, I don't want to catch this. I mean, I've had so many friends that have caught it. I'm getting more and more, you know, less paranoid about it. But I was like, I need to keep my, you know, immune system up. And I'm thinking, I'm 31. I should be fine, right?
You should be fine. You should be fine.
Don't,
absolutely.
You're a little up in your head, Taylor.
Yeah.
God, Drew.
Yeah.
I was talking about this on ACS, but you know, we just got back from Florida, and it's me and Mike and Chris and. Clubs packed and no one's wearing a mask, and you know, then we go out to dinner and then we go back to the hotel and it's the Uber ride and then it's the airport and then it's the flight with the, you know, some have been, again, I flew a Southwest flight that was 100% filled, 100% filled.
Yeah.
They said it five times. We've been everywhere and we only go to places that aren't restricted because otherwise, we wouldn't go there.
Right. So there'd be no stand-up.
It's a self-selecting group.
Yeah.
So all we do is go to places that
are open,
which means, they're not implementing all the lockdowns and all the closures and all the bullshit we're doing here. So we go to the dangerous places, which you and I know aren't, but at least they're labeled that. I mean,
nowhere worse than L.A. Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Maximum lockdown, maximum outbreak.
Hmm. Is there nowhere in the country that's worse than L.A.?
For a while, Rhode Island got close, and Arizona had a few days there, but nowhere near the sustained outbreak of Los Angeles.
And has L.A. been locked down more than any other state in the union?
Longer and more. And if you look at the latest extreme lockdown, that's when the thing really accelerated.
Right.
And they, of course, our health officials look at that and go, see, it would have been much worse.
Right. Any plans of opening anything?
There are politicians fighting for it, but no plans. We got the governor's little purple, orange, blue, whatever protocol that we have to get to, which LA could never progress in. Too big.
Have we not wrapped our heads around outdoor dining? I mean, the weather's been beautiful outside.
Remember, the head of the health organization in California said there is no evidence that outdoor dining has ever caused transmission, but we don't want people moving around. So we have to do something. Words exactly.
It is fun for those of us that don't live in L.A. that Newsom decided to group L.A. in with the rest of Southern California. So now all of us are screwed.
Well, Orange County, it's on, though. Go to Orange County.
Yeah, that's true.
It's
but
on.
It's not it's like shadily on.
But it's on. Yeah. People are just living their lives there, and it's crowded.
Aren't you surprised that more of the sheeple go along with this shit? I'm disgusted at everyone. They should be rebelling and defying. Remember?
They are a bit.
No.
Way more than they were. Mm. Just look at the freeways.
Oh,
hey, I'll tell you who's really rebelling.
Those are people going to work.
Yeah. Well, to me, the group that's rebelling the most, God bless them, is my Hispanic friends.
Mm-hmm.
They just go, I have to work. What are you talking about?
You told me off the air you don't have any Hispanic friends.
No, I have lots of Hispanic friends.
They always tell me the same thing. You call them those people.
Well, maybe.
You didn't say Hispanic friend.
I said those people? How'd you know who I was talking about?
Because you were talking about your gardener.
Stop.
And then you said his name. I think it was Alvaro. Alvaro. And then he said, I normally don't talk to those people, but Alvaro is something where he parked his truck.
So we have plenty of Hispanic friends, and they all say the same thing, which what are you talking about? We work. We have to work. What are you talking about?
Yes.
We went to work. And yeah, the whole family got sick. Yeah, I brought it home.
So,
they're all sick. They're fine. I had to go to work.
So how do you reckon that me and Mike and Chris have crisscrossed this goddamn nation playing comedy clubs where everyone is packed in and no one wears a mask, and flights and restaurants? You know, of course, the second the show's over, we're going out.
Well, hell, I was breathing virus onto you Christmas Eve.
Right.
Theoretically.
Right. So none of the three of us have had it. We've done everything wrong.
Yeah.
Everything they told us not to do.
Some people are resistant to the infection. It's possible that's you.
It's funny because Mike and Chris are both dudes that have a little bit of that sewer rat mentality.
Yeah.
Kind of grew up eating stuff off the floor, rolling around in the dirt.
Yeah.
You know, they're not the Purell kids at all.
Mm.
And that's the kind of life we lead.
Yeah.
Is it possible that one of the three of us wasn't exposed in all these travels? These situations?
Doesn't seem like it. Well, I know you were exposed to me.
Yes, but was I? Was that good enough?
It should have been. If I was producing virus, who knows? That's the hard part.
Hmm. All right. February 26th, 27th.
Hey, before you go, one quick thing I wanted to bring up with you. I thought of you when I saw a new move afoot to make Kamala Harris into a fashionista. It's all about her fashion, her clothing. Covers magazines.
Yeah, I know. The beauty of the left is we had an actual fashion model as the first lady for 4 years, and you fucks never gave a shit about that.
Quite
the opposite. Yeah, right. Yeah. Now we got someone from our side. Although you guys just play it down the middle. Except for now you got someone from your side. Now it's time to build her up. Yeah, I know.
Like crazy.
It's the weirdest. The fawning part is weird. I always see it in Michelle Obama. You know, I'm like, look at her. She's so regal. Such dignity. That dress just becomes like, you're the news. You're news outlets. You're not supposed to be fawning over people's evening attire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you do the news. And then it makes you wonder, what if there was some scandal about Michelle Obama? How would you report that? Because you've already proclaimed that you're a huge fan. See? So now how's the news work moving forward here? You love President Obama, you love Michelle Obama. So what happens if there's some story about them doing something that was less than legal? How would you report it? I don't know. Sort of worried about that now. Feel like you're the dad who's umpiring the Little League game and you've announced that your son is pitching and he's the best and he can't throw a ball. should I be relying on you now to call balls and strikes? Makes me wonder. Now, the part that makes me wonder is I don't understand why other people don't see that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't see what's going on?
I think people are gratified by it in some way. They like it.
News outlets aren't supposed to fawn.
No, I get it. News is supposed to be news. And
over
not,
political
not,
people.
Not anymore. It's right. Just not news anymore. That's the bottom line. You got to accept that.
All right. February 26th, 27th, Oklahoma City, Bricktown Comedy Club. And then Kansas City coming up March 25th. And then Royal Oak, Michigan, Waukegan, Illinois. Go to amcroll.com for all the live show events. And watch our YouTube channel because we got free stand-up there. YouTube.com/AdamCarolla. What do you got, Drew?
DrDrew.com where you can see a stream. And also, I'm back at After Dark. And don't forget the Dr. Drew podcast.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.